open your Bibles with me to Revelations chapter 20. I don't know why I said Revelations 1. Revelations 20. Excuse me. And let's look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place, found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, in these verses that are read, there's two times it's mentioned the book of life. The book of life. Now, look over here in verse 27 of chapter 21. Look what it says here. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelations 13:8. See, they're talking about the book of life. Revelations 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Four times here in Revelation, the book of life. We'll talk about in a little while the book of life. Our Father, our gracious, gracious Father in heaven, you are indeed most blessed, most holy, most gracious, most kind, especially forgiving, justifying, declaring righteous. Through your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts in your presence to honor and bless your holy name. Lord, we not have to flee from your face at the judgment because our names, there's some here whose names are written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life. That Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And our Father, I ask that you'd be pleased to, in your sovereign mercy this morning, enable those who know their names are written in the book of life to have assurance of it. Those who don't, may you make them understand what it is. And our Father, may the gospel run well here today. Have mercy, mercy, mercy upon those that we love who are lost and undone. Those who are not with us through sickness and through your providence. Ask your blessed sovereign mercy and grace upon them. In our Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Talking about the book of life. Therefore, my brethren, Philippians 4, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. The book of life. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know your name was in the book of life? The book of life. And I'll tell you something about this book of life. Every name that's in it was put in it before they ever existed. Before Adam was put on the earth, God had every name in that book. And then he comes along and tells us that, you know, whether your name's in the book or not, that Paul the apostle, here is a wise, wise master builder. He is a man strong in his convictions, strong in his purpose, strong in the doctrine of Christ, strong in the grace of God. He even said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Any labor I've done is by the grace of God. Any hope I have is by the grace of God. Any message I preach is by the grace of God. Anything I do is by the grace of God. And yet, on the other side of it, he talked about over in Thessalonians, he was gentle as a nurse. As he was strong, he was considerate in his character towards those who labored with him in the gospel. And you know he noticed about labored with him in the gospel. And here he talks about fellow laborers. Fellow laborers. Fellow laborers in the gospel. And he doesn't mention them by name. And it's as if he's saying, lest I be offend somebody by not mentioning their name, only thing that matters is to my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. All my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. You're a fellow laborer in the gospel? That's what he's talking about. And it'd be much better that your names be written in the book of life than to me mention your name in one of my letters that I write to somebody. And oh my, and here's a consolation for people who nobody knows who they are and what they've done or what they're doing or anything about them. Obscure. And there's people like that all over the world. But the thing is that they're known and loved as the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody else may not know them. They may be obscure and they may feel like, you know, that they absolutely are nothing and nobody. Which that's a good way to feel. That's the way we actually do feel. But he's known and loved of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're inscribed in the book of life. And oh, I'll tell you, the first time the book of life is mentioned in Exodus 32, when Israel had sinned so greatly, dancing around that golden calf, and was naked, and God came down and destroyed many of them. Moses said, Lord, he said, thy people sinned greatly. And if you're not going to forgive them, blot my name out of thy book of life, as long as you don't blot their name out. And the Lord and God told him, said, I ain't blotting anybody's names out, but who I will. He said, what you have to do with it don't have nothing to do with it. I'm the one that's got the book. I'm the one who blots it in and blots it out. And I tell you, look in Psalm 139 and verse 16 with me. And let's look at this just a moment, then I'll get into my message. Psalm 139 and verse 16. Talking about the book of life. Oh, to be inscribed in the book of life. So many things talks about the book of life. David said here in verse 14, Psalm 139, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet none of them were, when there was none of them at all. He said, before I ever existed, you seen my substance and put everything about me in your book. Everything about me in your book. Now, the Lamb's book of life and the book of life is the same equivalent to being a child of God. To say your names is in the Lamb's book of life or the book of life is the same thing as saying that you're being a child of God. How many times does God say, my people, them that are called by my name, my heritage, my possession, vessels of mercy, vessels of honor. God has this peculiar, wondrous love and attraction and something that something about Him makes Him love the lowest of the low and does something for the worst kind. And oh, and so to be in the Lamb's Book of Life is the same as being a child of God. But what does it mean to have your name written in the Book of Life? What does it mean to have your name in the Book of Life? I tell you what it means. It means you're a citizen. It means you're a citizen. You know, Israel, and they keep a census in America, but every place who's got people, they keep a census. They keep a genealogy, and Israel kept a genealogy, and they called it the Book of Life. They called it the Book of the Living. You find that in a couple of places in Isaiah, and you find it in Ezekiel. They says, those from Jerusalem whose names are in the Book of the Living. There's people that even God said are in the Book of the Living. And I tell you what, beloved, all only citizens, I'm going to tell you something, only citizens are in this book. Only citizens are in the Book of Life. Look back over here in Ephesians. Let me, in Ephesians chapter 2. Look what it says here. There was a time we were aliens, foreigners. Look what he said here in verse 12. Ephesians 2:12. Wherefore remember, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, he don't leave it like that. He said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, look down verse 19. Now, listen to what he says here. Now, therefore, you are more and more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. We've come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of just men made perfect. That's where we've come unto. Just men already made perfect. Now, we live in this world. In this world right here, that's where we live. We live in America. We're citizens of America. And we are under the system of America. It's constitutional government. It's republic. We're under its political system. We're under its economical system. We're under its social system. But you know where our real citizenship is? You know where it's at? Paul said in Philippians 3:20, if you're looking with me back over in chapter 4, he says this, for our conversation, our manner of life is in heaven. Where's our manner of life at? Where is our life at? Where is our home at? Where's our citizenship at? Our conversation, our life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our real citizenship is. It's in heaven. It's in glory. And we live and we act and we are citizens of heaven. This world's not my home. I happen to live here right now. But I have a home past this life. I have a home beyond this life. I was looking the other day at all the folks that's passed away in this congregation. And I got to thinking about them. They all were citizens of another place. They wasn't afraid to go. They wasn't afraid to leave this world. They wasn't shook up. They wasn't biting their fingernails. They wasn't scared.
They was glad to go, relieved to go, blessed to go, looking forward to going. Why? Because they were citizens of another country, of another home, of another place. Huh? And what if this world don't like us? Who cares? Huh? What about people's opinions in this world? It don't make no difference. What's God's opinion? What God says about us? Where God puts our name? You got to have a passport to go in and out of this country. And that proves that you're a citizen of the United States of America. And you got a number, and you got a picture, and you got all this rigmarole. You got to have it to go to prove you're a citizen. Well, I've got proof that I'm a citizen of another world. Who gave me proof? The Holy Ghost did. How? Through the gospel. And that's why Paul said, fellow laborers. He said, I don't want to mention anybody's name, but everybody labors in the gospel with me. Their names are written in the book of life. You know, over in Chronicles, 1 and 2 Chronicles, they call the books of the Chronicles of the Kings. The books of the Chronicles of the Kings. Well, you know what? We have our name written in the book of the Chronicle of the Kings. And you know what the Chronicles of the Kings is? They told the history and all the acts and all the things that the kings did. In all their history. And all the things that they did. Well, we're in the book of the Chronicle of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our names, beloved, we are in the name. Our names were in the Chronicle of the King of Kings and what He did on this earth. And what He's doing right now. Huh? What Christ did is in this book. Who He did it for is in this book. What an honor. What a privilege. You want to read about David? I want to read about Christ, David's son. They talk about what all David did? Oh, it's what all Christ did. And so our names are written in the book of the Chronicles of the King. And all that men call honor here, and call praise here, and glory here, are nothing compared to having our names written in the book of life. Oh my. You know where the Chronicles of the King of Kings is? It's in this thing right here. And you start out in Genesis and it'll start telling you everything that He did. Start telling you everything that He accomplished. In fact, He said in Psalm 40, He said, it's written in the volume of the book. Lo, I come, I delight to do Thy will. Yea, Lord, I delight to do Thy will. Thy law was written within my heart. So everything our Lord did in this world, and all of His accomplishment, and all of His work, and all of His blessed person, and all of His accomplishments, and everything that He did by His life, by His death, by His resurrection, by His ascension, sitting at God's right hand right now, our names are in that book of the Chronicle of the King. Huh? And let me tell you something else. Not only are we citizens, but those whose names are in the book of life, listen to me, they possess life, which is life indeed. I mean, those whose names are in the book of life, you know why their names are in the book of life? Because they possess life. Real life. Life that's life indeed. That's what our Lord called it, life indeed. Oh, it's called the book of the living. And in the register of those, it's the register, it's the book, it's the record of all those who are truly, truly alive. When I was born, they gave me a birth certificate. And when you die, you get a death certificate. But neither one of them don't amount to nothing. When it's all said and done, Oh, listen, you know, they give you a death certificate, and when they give you a death certificate, you're already in glory, rejoicing in the Lord, because your names are written in the book of life. They ought to give you a life certificate. Let's put on that life certificate. He entered into life. Why? That's why it's called the book of life. People's in the book of life really live. They've got life. And what is this life? It's the life from God Himself. It's a new birth. Our Lord Jesus Christ regenerates us. The Spirit of God comes and takes out the stony heart and puts in a heart of flesh. Takes out that old fallen nature, and He takes that nature. He don't take it out, but He gives you a new nature. He gives you a divine nature. He makes you a partaker of the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts a new nature in you, new life in you, new heart in you, new soul in you, new mind in you. New creatures, what He makes you. Huh? Oh, look over in John chapter 1. Look in John chapter 1. Oh, listen, that's why it's called the book of life. Because it's the book of the living. Why would you call it a book of life if it's not a people that live? People that live. Look what he said here in John 1:12. But as many as received him came to his own, they didn't receive him. They didn't say they know who he was, didn't care anything about it. But as many as received him as the Christ, as the Savior, as the sovereign Lord, as the one who has all power and authority, the one that you know you cannot approach the Father but only through him. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become, listen to that, to the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now listen, which were born not of blood. My son and daughter ain't going to get, they're not going to be regenerated because they're my blood. No, no. Nor the will of the flesh. They can talk about man's free will all they want to, but here it says not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Where'd you get this life at then? Where do you get this name, this being born? But born of God. Huh? That's how you do it. Man has absolute nothing to do with it. Oh, listen. That's you who were dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened together. We're at with Christ. Let me tell you something, beloved. Life is more than being. These philosophers all the time trying to explain the mystery of life. And I tell you, they try to where you come from, where you're going, what you do while you're here and all that. But life is more than being, having a physical existence. That's more than that. Much, much more than that. Our souls have the life of God in them. We're not just existing. We're more than just a body. We're a living soul inhabiting a body that's dying and decaying. But oh, listen, our souls have the life of God in them. We're conscious of Him. We surrender to Him. We love Him. We obey Him. We aspire Him. We want to know Him. We want to win Him. We want to fellowship with Him. We want to commune with Him. We want to spend eternity with Him. Oh, listen, I'll tell you something else. And all else is death. God, our Lord Jesus Christ says, you have the name that you're living, but you're dead. I'm telling you, listen. You know what I want more than anything in this life? I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to win Christ. I want God to make me cleave and believe all the days of my life. So that when I leave this world, I'll still be a believer. I'll just have the life that I've already had, except I won't have this to deal with. That's what we're talking about. You see, our blessed Savior came into this world, and by His work and by His Spirit, He come into this old valley of dry bones. And he said, I say unto these bones, bone, come to bone. Stand on your feet. Cause flesh to come upon them bones. And then cause breath to come into them bones. And then he said, I say unto the bones, live. And he makes these old dry bones live. He brings life out of nothing, out of just a bunch of old dry bones. And I tell you, this breath is the breath of his own life in us. Our Lord Jesus, this is what John said. He says, this is the record that God hath given to us. Eternal life is in his Son. And we have life in the blessed Son of God. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear, what are they going to do? They're going to live. They're going to live. Oh, we're living. I'm living. More than just the life you see. And you're living more than just the life you see. This is life. We have life. Real life. And I'll tell you something else about this book of life. Not only do we possess life, which is life indeed. Oh, I say unto thee, live. Yea, I say unto thee, live. And when he says live, you're going to live. And you're going to have real life. Real, 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 real life. We commune with another world, don't we? We speak and take our souls and our minds and our hearts into another realm. What realm is it that we go into? What causes us to call on God? What causes us to look to Him? What causes us to trust Christ? What is it about us that causes us to want to live outside this world in another realm for a little while during our lifetime in this world? That's that life that's in us, the life of God in us. And let me tell you something else about our names in the book of life. It tells us of God's knowledge of each and every one of us. As God's knowledge of each of us and His care for each of us. I mean His care for each and every one. And the Old Testament is called a book. And the New Testament is called the Lamb's Book. But it's one and the same book. The Lamb saved all that's in God's book. And they were in God's book, and we are in God's book because of the Lamb. Our names are in the book because of the Lamb. And I'll tell you something. Everyone for whom Christ died has his name there. Everyone for whom Christ died has his name there. You don't put your name there whenever you repent and you believe. You repent and believe because your name is already there. The Lord knew you. He knew where you was. You know, He knows what you're doing and He knew what He's going to do for you. Huh? Is that right? And see, our names were always in the book of life. The foundation of God stand is sure. The Lord knows what? Them that are His. Oh, maybe He gives us, maybe we have a whole page. You know, it may be just name after name after name. It may be a book with one name above every page. You know, I don't know. But you say, boy, it'd take an awful big book. Well, listen, God's got He said He saves a number that no man can number. 10,000 times 10,000 is a multitude that no man can number out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue of people on the face of this earth. If He can measure the waters in the hollows of His hand, don't you think He's got a book big enough to put us all in it? If He counts the nations as a drop in the bucket, don't you think He's got a book big enough to put all our names in? And you know who has that book in His hand and can open it? The Lamb that was slain in Revelation chapter 5. God knows, listen to me now, God knows each of us and calls us by name. And He says in Revelation He's going to give us a new name. Oh, He said, you know when He said, Zacchaeus, how did He know who Zacchaeus was? He said, I know my sheep. And I call them by name. And they follow me. For whom He did foreknow, them He also called. Them He also justified. My name. My name. Your name. My individual being stands there. Stands there. My name. My name. Your name, if you're in the book of life. My individual being, my personal being stands right there. And let me tell you something. He don't deal with us as somebody deals with the whole crowd. He doesn't stand and take like we're broadcasting seed, throws out His blessings and hope we reach out and catch some of them. That's not the way He deals with us. No, no, no. That's the way most folks believe it. God's throwing blessings now. I hope you can catch some of them. Like a fairy godmother. Fairy Godfather, something. Father Christmas, just throwing out stuff. Oh, listen, but that's not the way He does it. You know what He does? He treats all of us individually. He treats us, there's two of us, Him and us. That's the way He deals with it. Every one of us as an individual. Do you feel like you personally, you and Christ have a relationship right now? You're not, you know, you're not thinking about the fellow next to you. You. And the Lord deals with us. As personal, individual, somebody He Himself loves. That's why Paul said, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I live, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. Listen to it. Who loved me, and gave Himself for me. Gave Himself for me. Do you feel like that? Look in Isaiah 43. I could quote this to you, but look. Look what he says. Oh, listen. He calls us. He calls us by name. Look what he says here now. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Listen to this now. Thou art mine. Oh, oh my. Look what he said down in verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, you've been honorable, and I've loved you. I loved you. You know, he goes through the scriptures, and you know what he did? He called, you know how many people he called by name? He himself, our Lord, called by name. He called Lazarus by name. He called Mary and Martha by name. He called Simon by name. Mary was standing weeping one time, and he called her by name, and she turned and said, oh, Master, Mary, where have you laid him? Just tell me, and I'll go find him, and I'll get him. Mary, oh, Simeon. The Lord knew Simeon by name. And you know what he told Simeon? Simeon was an old man. And he said, Simeon, he said, you're not going to die until you've seen my salvation. And one day, 2,000 years ago, he was walking through the temple when they were offering babies on the eighth day when they was dedicating the first son, the firstborn, the first child, according to the law. They went up to Jerusalem. They went in there and they offered that firstborn child to the Lord. And there they were, and he looked down and saw a baby in a poor old Jewish woman's arms. And they were there, they were so poor, they were going to offer turtle doves. You couldn't get that's the least sacrifice you could offer, a turtle dove, because they could not afford lamb or goat or bullocks or rams. They're going to offer turtle doves. And going to offer him, make, and you know, say, this is the firstborn. He's yours. And old Simeon picked up that 8-day-old baby, looked in his eyes, and looked at him, wrapped in those little old blankets, said, "Oh, my eyes have seen thy salvation. Since I'm a citizen of another country, just let me die." I don't need to see anything else. Why would he say that if he wasn't in the book of life? Huh? Oh, my. He tells the stars. He counts the stars and calls them all by name. If he does that, you imagine how he treats us. And I tell you what, because our names are written in the book of life, our salvation and security is absolutely sure. Huh? And all you go through the scriptures and look at how many people the Lord saved. When it looked like there was absolutely no hope for them, there's no way in the world they was going to be saved. Israel at the Red Sea. He says, stand still. Just stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Red Sea part. And as they started walking through there, it was dry ground. I mean, immediately as it parted, they walked through on dry ground. What about Daniel in the lion's den? Oh, listen, we got to get rid of Daniel. That man loves Christ. He's from another world. He's from another place. Put him in the lion's den. You know what he did? He used them for pillows. Got up the next morning. They said, "Well, we got to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Throw them in the furnace." And they said, "Wait, didn't we just throw three in there?" "Yeah. There's a fourth one in there. Who is he?" "Well, he looks like the Son of God to me." And they opened the door, and those fellows walked right out of the fire. And ain't that what God said? "When I've called you by name, when you go through the fire, the flame shall not kindle upon thee. When thou goest through the waters, it shall not overflow thee. When thou goest through the river, you'll never..." Ain't that what he said about us? You know, I know it. Look in Daniel 12 with me. Look in Daniel 12. Look in Daniel 12. Here's what I'm talking about. Daniel 12. Last of the Old Testament prophets. Look in Daniel 12. Our Lord neither slumbers nor sleep. He'll watch for us. He'll do what's necessary for us. So let us rest. If he's going to stay awake, let's go sleep. If he's going to watch for us, let's rest. Ain't that right, Bradley? Huh? Look what he said here in Daniel 12, verse 1. "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time," listen to it now, names in the book of life, "and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Going to be delivered. Going to be delivered. Our high priest, the high priest, when he went into the temple to offer sacrifice, once he put on that breastplate, the ephods together. He had these two gold chains across the top up here, and he had six stones up here and six stones up there. Three, and he had them on it, and then he had them on his breastplate. All these wonderful stones, and had the name of every tribe written on those stones. So when he went into the holiest of holies, he had them on his breast, and he had them on his shoulders. To bear the weight of them and to bear the love of them. And our great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, bore on his breastplate and on his shoulders
into the heavenly of heavens, sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. And there we are on His heart, and He carries the weight of all His children on Himself. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Yes, she can. But He said, I'll never forget you and I'll never forsake you. Never. Never, never, never. And if our names are in the book of life, we'll someday go to the land of the living. We'll someday close our eyes here and go into the land of the living. Just close them. Draw our last breath. Wake up in the land of the living. You know, I read those verses in Revelation 20 where they was opened the books. You know what books they was open? These books right here. And men were judged out of the books according to their works. But then it says everyone was judged except those whose names were written in the book of life. You know why those in the book of life are not going to be judged? Because they were already judged in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the book of life. That's why it's called the book of life. Their names are there as citizens. Their names are there in the book of the Acts of the King. They have the life of Christ. God knows each and every one of them. And Christ knows each and every one of them. And He marks them in their hand. He marks them in their head. He marks them in their heart. He marks them in their ear. He marks them in their feet. He marks them in every single way. And beloved, and I tell you, He marks them for love for Him, and they overcame. Look, you know how they overcame? Look in Revelation 7. Let me show you how they overcame. They overcame. I mean, these people overcame. Oh, my. We'll someday go to the land of the living, into the city of that great King. Go to Emmanuel's land. What a blessed thing it'll be to go to Emmanuel's land. Go to the city of the great King. Gather around that blessed throne. Sing praises unto our Lord forever and ever. Look what He said here in verse 13. Revelation 7. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Who are these? Who are these people are arrayed in white robes? And where'd they come from? How'd they get here? And I said unto him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, listen now. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen to it. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of water. Everything there is life. Everything about it is living. And listen to this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, listen. You know what? The only people allowed there in this place in the land of the living, in this new heaven and new earth, are those whose names are written in the book of life. That's on people. I read it to you in Revelation 21. He says, you know, no, nothing shall enter in undefiled or makes a lie or anything else but he whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You reckon our names could be blotted out?
You reckon you could do something, cause it to be blotted out? You didn't do nothing to get it written there. So you didn't write it there. You never put it there. It's an awful, awful, awful doctrine. An awful, awful lie that would tell men that something they could do, something they could way they act, or something they could say or do that would cause them to get their names took out of the book of life. That's an awful doctrine. Huh? When you didn't have nothing to do with getting it put there, you didn't have nothing to do with God choosing, you didn't have nothing to do with God giving you life, and it's the grace of God that does it all for you, and it's the grace of God that's going to take you to glory, and it's the life of it's in you that God gave to you. So you reckon he's going to turn around and then undo all that? Well, how did Paul know, in closing, how did Paul know these people's names were written in the book of life? Had he looked into the book of life? No, he hadn't. But he knew. They knew Christ and believed the gospel, and they were fellow laborers in the gospel. But how he knew their names when the book of life was the same way he knew that the Thessalonians, he said, beloved, knowing your election of God. How did he know their election of God? Same way he knew their names written in the book of life. I mean, there's people that you just know that they are. You know, you just know. You just know. You're not looking at their works. You look to see if Christ is in them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God give them life. Is there evidence of life? And where there's evidence of life, there'll be life. Love. All the things that God gives us when he gives us this life. Our Father, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, thank you, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the book of life. Thank you, Lord, that we have life, that we are numbered among the living, that we really have life, 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 the life of God in our souls. And Lord, we look unto you, the one who gave us life, sustains this life, and will one day cause it to bring forth full fruition. Lord, we bless you for it. Ask that you'd have mercy and save your people in this place. Grant that they would have that evidence of life given to them. In Christ's blessed name, amen.